Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A text for today's message is taken from today's gospel. A great windstorm arose and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling, but he was in the stern asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. So far the text. I think many of us have heard the word apocalypse, and when we hear that word apocalypse, we think that it means basically the end of the world. That's not technically what the word apocalypse means. It means a revealing, something that is revealed. So, for example, the movie Apocalypse Now, it's not just about the end of the world. It's about Martin Sheen's character trying to find this colonel, played by Marlon Brando, and when he finally finds him, it's revealed to him that that guy's lost his mind. It's also revealed how horrible war is. It's a revealing, this apocalypse. Now, last week and this week, we have these apocalypses taking place. Last week, it was revealed what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's the two parables Jesus told. And now in this story, it is revealed that Jesus is the king of that kingdom. It's very interesting what Jesus doesn't say here. When they wake him up. When they wake Jesus up, he doesn't say, "Everything's going to be okay." He doesn't say, "Take courage." He doesn't say, "Find the inner reason why you're afraid and confront that fear and overcome it." He doesn't say any of those things. I mean, if he had said that, that would be a therapist. Okay? The disciples don't need a therapist right now. They need a savior. And they need him to still the storm, which is what he did. And yet, all too often, I think, as Christians, when we approach Jesus, we do so as if he's a therapist. Now, there's nothing wrong with therapy. I think it's very helpful. But basically, what a therapist tries to do is help the person heal themselves. So you have these, stereotypical scene of a therapist. You know, he'd be sitting in a chair, and the therapy would be sitting or lying on a couch. And one question they always ask and ask over and over and over again is what? How did that make you feel? How does that make you feel? How will that make you feel? Now, if you've ever been in my Bible classes, you probably realize that one of my pet peeves is when Bible studies are like a trip to the therapist, where it's all about our feelings. Nothing wrong with feelings, okay? But that's really not what Bible studies are about. I got this pet peeve very early when I went to college, first year, and the resident assistant of our floor decided it'd be a good idea to have a weekly Bible study. Now, this is a challenge for him because 80% of the guys on our floor were on the football team. These are not guys that were craving a Bible study. Let's just put it that way. And so I remember the first and only Bible study we had. He actually got some of the football players there. And it was on the feeding of the 5,000. And after we're done, of course, the big question always is, how does this make you feel? And no one said a word. So then he turned to me, because he didn't have the guts to ask a football player, so I was less intimidating. And so he said, "How does this make you feel?" And I said, "I don't know. I don't like fish." And, I mean, if he had multiplied walleye, I mean, I like walleye. That's the only fish I like. But come on, it's like, how about steak sandwiches? If he multiplied steak sandwiches, that would be great. But now I'm hungry. Now I want a steak sandwich. That's how I feel. Okay, Bible studies are not about, basically, the main point is our feelings. How does this make me feel? No, it's about usually a person named Jesus, who he is, what he did for us, what that means in our life, and how we respond to that. When Jesus didn't wait, when he woke up, he didn't get the disciples together, in a circle and say, "Let's get to the inner reason why we're afraid of drowning." Okay? What he did was he met their need. He stilled the storm. Now, the disciples understood full well what kind of storm this was. Most of these disciples, many of them, I should say, were fishermen. These fishermen understood these windstorms that still happen on the Sea of Galilee and understood that this was something different. This wasn't just an ordinary windstorm. It says it was a great windstorm. And they have lost hope. When they wake Jesus up, did you notice what they ask? They don't say, "Hey, can you help us out here? Can you still the storm? Can you save us? They don't say that. They're beyond that. Instead, what they say is, don't you care that we're all going to die? They're without any hope. And then Jesus does what? He shows his apocalypse. He reveals himself to them. He stills the storm. It's interesting, these are the words he uses, the exact same words he used when he cast out a demon. He stills the storm. He reveals himself to be the Son of God and to be God himself. And I think the one area that we have in common with the disciples is that the disciples were in the boat with Jesus, and so are we. This part of the church here, okay, it's called the nave, right? And that's where we get the word navy from. It's Latin for ship. So if you just kind of picture this church and you flip it over, you know, it would be the ship that we're in here. It might leak, okay, but, you know, it's a ship. This is what it's meant. That was an early symbol of the church, in the early Christian church, was a ship. And what's interesting about this, and it's, you know, all the times I've read this story, I always picture it as Jesus and his disciples are on a ship alone. They're not. They're surrounded by a whole bunch of other boats. The difference is, all of these boats are in the storm, but not all of these people are in the same boat. I experienced that when I had to take my GRE, my graduate required examination. All my friends at St. Paul who were pre-sem, we went to the University of Minnesota at the same day and to take this test, and it was in this huge lecture hall, and it was packed with people. And you could see the fear. You could smell the fear of these people. They all looked incredibly exhausted and incredibly nervous, and rightfully so. Because for a lot of these guys, how they did on this test, this day, would determine what graduate school would take them, would determine what their field of study would eventually be, would determine their futures. But me and my friends, we weren't nervous at all, right? Not in the least. I did pretty well on the GRE, except for the math part. I mean, the last math class I had was geometry, and I failed that and had to take it in summer school. This was all like calculus and stuff, you know. I didn't know what I was doing. I just put, for the option all through the math, I just put C, 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 C. So I know I got some right, okay? But that was it. But, you know, I wasn't nervous about it. No. I mean, if I failed the GRE, it didn't determine me going to the seminary. Right? I mean, they just wanted us to take the GRE so they could see how dumb we were when we got there. I mean, that's all they wanted to see. So it didn't bother me at all. I was completely... Now, we were all facing the same storm, and that was the test. But we were definitely in a different boat. That's the case here. The disciples are in the ship, are in the boat with Jesus. And it's been revealed to them exactly who Jesus is. And we have to understand, the disciples were different because of the faith given them, and we are too. And faith has been revealed to us who Jesus really is. He's not a teacher, he's certainly not a therapist, he's God. He can still a storm and cast out demons. And he's not a therapist who helps us heal ourselves, he's the one who heals us and forgives us and loves us and gives us peace in knowing that he's never going to leave us. And now that this has been revealed to us, how do we respond to this? Well, it's not in the text, but when the storm was stilled and Jesus' boat and all the other boats make it safely to the shore, what do you think the first thing the disciples did? I'm sure they jumped out of the boat, ran to the other boats and said, hey, you know that storm that just about killed us? You know why it went away so fast? And they pointed at Jesus. That's the guy. Something was revealed to them, and they revealed it to others. That's our lives in Christ. We're certainly overjoyed to be in the boat with Jesus through our life, but we also want to let others know that. So the peace we experience today in knowing Jesus is a peace they can have. And some of these people live in darkness. Some of these people live in chaos, and yet we can give them peace. We can calm the storm of their lives by revealing the truth of our Savior Jesus Christ. And the truth of who he is, God, and how he feels about us, he loves us. In Jesus' name, amen.